Hey, Dirty Legion! What's up? With your host with the most, Martin Ferretti!
Oh, yeah?
And your faithful servant, Pennywise One.
It's the other way around. People listen to the show to hear you, Nick.
No way, you're the best.
I just come on the show to tell really odd stories.
I love them. I love the odd stories, my friend.
We got a request for more nerdy love episodes.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see what happens tonight, because I do have a story involving my wife.
Ooh.
So maybe there will be some of that. Probably not.
Any other requests for people dressing up as superheroes?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did you hear about the one gentleman who dressed up as Spider-Man?
Oh.
And he was caught for exposing himself to another to a passing car, a female in a passing car.
Oh my goodness.
I know. That's Spider-Man, dude. He would never do that.
Jeez.
That's some Lobo antics. That is not Spider-Man. How dare you?
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very serious episode.
Oh, okay.
You know, today's April Fool's Day, Nick.
Oh, all right.
But the world is not a joking place, so we must do a very serious episode.
All right.
I'm just kidding. We're not.
Tonight on Nerdy Legion.
Tonight. Breaking news!
No tickling allowed on tonight's Nerdy Legion.
There will be
co-starring no Carl Malden and Vic Tayback.
So what have you been up to? Are you guys on lockdown up there? You're in lockdown, right?
Oh, we've been on lockdown since last Friday.
That's right. Yeah, our lockdown started last night.
Oh, shoot.
Yes, our governor was, his nipples got twisted into setting a lockdown.
I think that's smart, because even up here, as soon as the weather got nice one day, oh my God, the amount of people out and about.
Well, so the problem is we have a lot of beaches in the state.
Yes.
And that's a lot of money.
Sure.
Tourism. So he didn't want to do it. But all the cities were starting to lock down. Like, all the city councils were implementing their own lockdowns.
Good.
So he's like, maybe I should do.
Maybe. All right, guys. Maybe I have to, even though all the beaches are telling me not to.
Well, I know Florida had the same problem.
Yeah, of course. Did you see the pictures from spring break? Holy Christ.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, which I don't understand, man. You know, as a as an essential employee,
you are that.
I don't like this one bit. It seems to me like there are so many exceptions for essential employees.
Oh my God, yes.
Right, like my wife works for a moving company.
Mm-hmm.
She's in accounting.
Mm-hmm.
She's an essential employee. Now, granted, they're letting her work from home. But like their moving trucks are still going around.
Yeah, crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's crazy. And it seems to me, listen, I was discussing this with my wife. You know, I was a business major for like a semester until I realized it's the most boring fucking shit in the world.
But now you know everything about business.
But now, you did it for a semester. Yeah, I studied so much that one semester that I am a PhD level economics business master PhD guy.
For sure.
Right? Dr. Martin called me. I play an economist on a podcast. Also sometimes CNN. But it seems to me, Nick, my wife and I discussed this a little bit, and I'm curious to hear what you
think. Sure.
It seems to me like it would just be so much easier to shut everything down for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then the virus just disappears, right? Because it's like a two-week incubation period, right? So shut everything down for 2 weeks. Then everyone can come back out again after 2 weeks. Instead of this like we'll shut this thing down now, and then like tomorrow we'll shut this one down. And like you can't go to restaurants, but you can still go to the supermarket with like 300 other people. Because that doesn't make much sense to me.
I know a lot of supermarkets and stores are limiting the amount of people that can go into the store at one time.
Interesting. That's true. I have also heard that some of these grocery stores and supermarkets are not abiding by the 10-person rule because, as an essential business, they're not dictated by law to do so.
Sure.
So that, to me, seems like a problem.
I've also heard about price gouging, but, you know.
Oh, well, it, yes. I'm sure there's
guess that. What? With I'm sure there's a lot less truckers out there, and getting food from one place to another probably costs a lot more. So guess who has to take that? I don't buy into the conspiracy theory that, like, everyone's jacking up the price. I don't buy into that. Things are expensive right now because people need it.
Yeah, it's simple. What is it? Supply and demand.
Well, you're the business major, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Expert.
Yes, sorry. Expert. One semester expert.
Anyways, my wife and I were talking about it today because I was just, it just seems like the most logical thing. You know what I mean? Like, if the economy.
But you're not going to poo-poo that trying to lock down. There's a lot of idiots out there that, guess what, as soon as a nice day comes up or whatever, they're out there. They're doing things. They're, like, I've heard of people, like, walking into, like, fast food restaurants and wanting to order off the menu and then upset because the fast food place is like, sir, you have to go outside and order through drive-thru. This area is closed.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, why isn't their door locked?
I would agree with that, but still, maybe it's a fire hazard thing. You don't know.
Ah, interesting. I'm sure there's an exception during times of viral pandemics that you're allowed to lock your door.
Yes. My wife told me an interesting thing regarding, like, edge case solutions, because she watches this one gentleman, scientist, and they went all the way back, I want to say, to the Black Plague. And they're now testing someone who takes, like, a hot bath, extremely hot bath, and then, like, right afterwards, like, hits themselves with, like, ice.
Mm.
I think it's, like, hydrotherapy or something. So that's supposed to spark the immune system to, like, kick into overdrive.
Yeah, so, like, that's basically what you do in a sauna. Like, so technically, in a sauna, you're supposed to get in there in this very hot, humid room, mm-hmm. and then immediately you're supposed to go back out in the cold.
Right.
Yes.
I'm sure it's edge case. That's why, like, doctors aren't promoting it. But mm-hmm. still, it's like, well, at least they're trying. Even though it's like, oh, this was the solution back during the Black Plague. Like, this is a solution they tried way back when. It's like, guess what? Sometimes those things actually make sense to at least try.
True. Some things just don't make sense, though. For example, I bought a plague mask.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I bought a plague mask because back then the doctors used to wear plague masks to not get sick. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it didn't work because the reasoning behind it was you would put, like, essential oils in the mask and, like, breathe those in because illness was caused by bad air.
Mm.
Right. That's where we get the term, like, pneumonia, for example. So it didn't work. But I did buy a plague mask, and what I'm going to do is actually build my own, like, filtration system to put in this plague mask. And I'm considering wearing it to work, except I don't think anyone would find it funny. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm still shocked that you had to hang up signs that say keep 6 feet away, but yet everyone's in cubicles that are 4 feet from each other.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah,
but it doesn't apply if you're essential.
Right? Like, sure.
Essential employees can't get sick.
Yeah, I just hope all essential employees are getting hazard pay. I know your company's doing it, but shoot, I want McDonald's employees to be getting it as well.
Listen, it ain't enough hazard pay.
It ain't, and I would be really scared handling money all day if I was in one of those jobs.
I was talking to a friend of mine today. One of his employees got pulled over this morning.
Oh, they were out when they weren't supposed to be out?
No, they were on their way to work.
Ah.
And the police pulled him over and gave him a $500 ticket because he didn't have his get out of jail free card, his essential employee letter.
Wow.
Hmm?
Wow. That's a little harsh, dude.
I agree. I have two. I carry one in my pocket and I have one in my truck.
But still, I mean, wow. Like, anyone would be lying about that.
Listen, over here, you'd be surprised, dude.
But that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of dummies out there. I'm telling you, I went out for a walk here and there, and if I see people come close to me, I'll be the paranoid person that crosses the street, because it's like, I don't want to be around anyone. I don't want anyone around me. Guess what? But I see like neighborhood kids playing soccer and baseball. And it's like, that isn't all one family. You can tell they're not all one family, but there they are. Like, that's just crazy to me. I mean, God forbid, thank God I don't have kids, because I couldn't even imagine trying to entertain young children who have no like sedentary instinct. I can't even imagine.
Yep, this is true.
But do you think this will make people appreciate and slow down a little bit? I certainly hope it makes people appreciate all these like healthcare workers, as well as people that are running your drive-throughs, that so many people, and delivery people, like Jesus, like the grunt workers.
I don't think so, Nick.
God, I hope so. I hope it's that.
I was trying to have this conversation with my wife, and it didn't go very well. Maybe I phrased it incorrectly. Maybe I need to work on my phrasing. But I had a genuine question. I said, you know, everyone always like keeps talking about when things go back to normal. And my question was like, why are people just so okay with the way things were before?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And, and I don't know, like she took offense to it. She didn't react very well to it. Her thing's like, well, I think it's okay for people to be trapped in their homes. And I said, that's not what I'm saying. Like, what's normal? You know what I mean? Like you go out and do the same shit every day.
I think people want to have a routine. I think that's what's considered normal. There's a security in that.
Listen, that's very scary to me.
Sure. Yeah, same here.
That's very scary to me. And for anyone listening, this is not going to be a coronavirus episode. We're about to change things up.
We didn't want to do that.
I want to get through this real quick.
Go ahead.
It's just really scary, Nick, that people would rather have the routine. Because that's when we end up with crazy shit like me having to present paperwork that I'm allowed to be outside.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I want less government involvement instead of more government involvement. And this just opens up the door for more government involvement.
Yes, very good. All right, so that's the end of that.
Can I just, before we leave?
Yes.
My brother's daughter had her birthday today. And instead of going over to their house to celebrate, everybody jumped on Zoom and sort of did, you know, a face-to-face virtually with each other. And there was, God, 10 people there. So there were umpteen windows of people that were stuck in houses and so forth. But it was sort of refreshing and it sort of recharged the battery just to actually do a quote-unquote face-to-face with people outside your house. Mm. Like that really charged my battery quite a bit. And just for the listener, I would highly recommend doing that just to jump on with a loved one or whomever, just so you can see somebody other than the person that you're living with.
Yes.
I think it's good. I think it's good for socialization and it's good for mental health.
Yes, I agree. I agree. We've kind of like suspended chores around here.
Mm.
But for one, like Zoe's not coming over now.
Sure.
Because since I'm out and about still, you know, her mom doesn't want to risk the chance of her coming over. Like, I catch something and gets in her house. Which, of course, like, I'm fine with. Like, it sucks, but I'm okay with. Zoe hates it.
Right.
Like, Zoe was pissed.
Sure. Sure.
Because you know how Zoe's like mini me. So.
Yeah, she was hoping that this declaration would have came down on a weekend where she was over there.
Yeah, she's
and then
like,
it's like, well, I guess I'm stuck over here, Mom. Sorry.
She's like, well, can I just come over and then like get stuck at your house?
Shit, right. But I get it. I understand that completely.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just fear, but still it's like, sure. Guess what? Until that increasing number levels out and starts going down, like it's okay to be a little fearful.
Yeah. Yep. And then Reagan's having like 2-hour phone chats with her friends at night.
Sure.
Because they're doing like schoolwork all day and then they still have homework. They're doing homework after that and like they can't leave the house. So they just like chat on the phone for hours on it.
Yeah, you have to loosen up those lockdown rules, I'm sure.
Yep. It's true.
And I'm sure Reagan wishes she was like preschool where I hear a lot of people are just like, I let the kid watch a movie and then we played some video games. That's school, right? They just chalked it up like they're not going to go back. They're in third grade. Come on.
So, anyways, my wife is liking it though, for the most part.
Working from home, she's liking it.
She's liking working from home.
Yeah, that's
But
good.
we'll see. She
I mean,
freaks out though.
everybody.
Like she literally washes her hands like 30 times a day. I'm like, you haven't even been outside.
Right. Well, she's. Hey, like I said, a little paranoia is not a bad thing. Maybe
So
they'll teach everybody that they need to wash their hands a little bit more. What do you think?
hey, that's a good idea.
I really hope, as well as this instant gratification thing. God, it'd be great if we just, like, this could sort of slow everybody down just a little bit.
Well, I do agree with that, and I hope that happens at some point. Matter of
Yeah.
fact, my wife and I were talking, and I was like, "Did you like?" I was at work, so we're texting back and forth, and I'm like, "Did you like learn anything new today?" It's like that's my hope that like people are just at home, so instead of just like watching more TV because they're at home more, they like learn a new skill or something. You know what I mean? Or like
Yeah, for sure.
find something new to be passionate about. But no, like Ozark came out, she's been watching Ozark.
Yeah, I find myself watching less TV, and tangentially, this will go into like Nerdy Legion stuff. I find myself, I still enjoy playing like Call of Duty, but there's part of me that don't, I don't really want the violence right now
Oh,
for
interesting.
whatever reason. As well as like I have Division 2. They just came out with a big, huge DLC chunk. Would love to jump into that. Do I really want to play a game set in New York during a disease pandemic? I don't know if I do. It's a little too close. A little too close.
Really? I'm finding the opposite. So I've been catching up on zombie movies
Well,
that I.
you want a zombie apocalypse,
Well, that's
so
true.
this is in the wheelhouse.
That's true.
And let's be honest, since you guys have a lockdown, commuting for you must be a freaking breeze.
Oh, I mean, my commute's pretty easy.
But still, there's probably 10 cars out there now.
No, there's still plenty of cars, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
Dang.
so my commute's very simple. I don't need to get on the interstate to do it. I mean, I could, but it's actually faster to take down a local road. Because there's a road that cuts from the town that I live in into the city. And like, yeah, it's gotten more crowded as the place where I live in gets bigger and bigger, but
Sure.
it's still like a straight shot. And I just have like
Now, since
two
the
blocks.
lockdown, have you gone into the filling station for your coffee and roll up?
Yeah, I've gone a couple times.
Ah, very good. Got to
Yeah.
keep some normalcy.
I mean, it's like right on. I pass it. I literally pass it every day on the way to work. So,
Sure.
yeah, I do still go in there,
Sure.
but I don't know. We'll see. You want to do you want to do like stuff that we've been doing to keep entertained, or do you want me to go into this story of how I worried my wife that A, I was having a panic attack,
Oh,
and B, I was possibly dying or.
Jesus. Well, do I really want to, like, oh, I've been reading Batman. No, I want to hear about this panic attack, this faux panic attack
yeah,
story.
now that I've explained it this way and you reacted in the way that you did, we're gonna
Yeah.
save that for the end.
Oh, no. That kills me. Oy. Oh, my God. That's the worst. Damn.
So I haven't been doing too much, I'll be honest with you. I did I watched let me see. I watched a couple movies. I want to talk about one, and I
Sure.
watched two TV shows. One episode of one, three of another.
Damn.
I read a trade and I started another trade. So
Wow.
where should we begin?
You pick. That all sounds great.
All right, let me since I already mentioned zombie movies, let me talk about this movie that I watched last night that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
I had never heard of it before. It is called I Am Alone. Came out in 2015. It won like a bunch of indie like best horror film of the year awards. I had never heard of it.
That
And
based on a comic?
is it? I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
If it is, I never heard of it.
Okay.
It is an indie film though, and like you can tell. So don't expect like extremely high production value here. Nor like amazing acting. Until like a certain point, which is why I wanted to talk about this movie.
Okay.
don't know if you remember a couple months ago I talked about, oh man, I can't remember the name of that one. It was a Japanese zombie film where like they're filming a zombie movie and then like that's the first 15 minutes of the movie. So you see that movie.
Yeah, it's a movie in a movie.
It's a movie in a movie, yeah. So it's kind of like that. Like it starts off pretty cheesy. But like I found myself like really thinking in some parts because there were a couple things done that I haven't seen a lot of zombie movies do. So that was cool to see from like an indie film.
Mm.
And that you can watch this for free on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
And it's short. I think it's an hour and a half. All right. So here's the basic premise. This guy is, I think he's Welsh or maybe Scottish. He's like a Bear Grylls guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he does a reality TV show. Like Survivor Man, is that, that's Bear Grylls, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So it's like Survivor Man, where it's like this guy that like really knows how to quote unquote survive in the wild and like gets dropped off in these remote locations and he like has to find his way back to civilization. I think it was like 3 days. But of course, like that's not really it because he does have a producer and a cameraman there with him through part of the show. And so they play a little bit around with that relationship and like him and his wife, whom he doesn't talk to a lot, obviously, because he's like all over the world filming a show. But like he's always talking about like how much they love each other and like their wedding together. So they go to this town in Colorado to film the show. And like the guy goes out into the woods and then film crew is in town, like interviewing townies about the town, like stories about hiking trails and going up the mountain. And so as all this is happening, like you see just people like start running streets. And then, like, things get progressively worse. And then, like, this one lady comes out of a shop and, like, gets shot in the back of the head by this guy who just, like, runs off. And then, like, you know, when they try to call the police and then they leave and the lady that got shot, like, picked up or whatever. And at the same time, like, the guy in the woods is, like, hearing noises and, like, he hears gunshots and, like, everyone starts freaking out. And then it's, like, full-on zombie apocalypse. So far, like, this seems like pretty typical zombie plot. Oh, there's also like a subplot in the present where like one of the cameramen and the crew survives and he's like handcuffed to a desk at the CDC. And so he's like being interviewed by a doctor, I guess. And they're showing like video footage of the guy in the woods, right? Because they recover the camera. But you don't know how. Okay. So you're going like back and forth between things. But part of the story is that, like, somehow the CDC feels like this Survivor Man character may, like, somehow be able to help them find a cure for this outbreak.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so, like, it's all pretty, like, standard, typical zombie movie kind of stuff in this.
Mm-hmm.
Until at one point, like, the guy gets bitten, right? The Survivor Man guy. He gets bitten by a zombie. But he goes, like, 4 or 5 days where, like, he hasn't turned yet, right?
Oh.
He does end up turning into a zombie.
Mm.
But then, like, when that happens, the camera switches from, like, this GoPro he's got on his chest, like, on a vest type thing, to, like, you seeing the world from his eyes. And that's when it gets really interesting. Because you, like, see this zombie, but, like, deep down inside, like, he's still human. And so they try to express how that works in film. And it gets really interesting, like, through a couple of things that happen. Like he gets a video from his wife. She was pregnant and she lost a baby. Like, where are you? Blah, blah, blah. And like, this is as he's turning and like have him deal with that. Even like after he turns to a zombie and you see him like run into a bunch of zombies and they're eating like flesh off the ground and he goes to pick some up and like decides he's not going to eat it. So he like throws it down and just keep walking. This like becomes part of the plot, right? Like when the CDC is interviewing the camera guy and then eventually, like, he goes to the spot where they're supposed to meet at the end of the shoot, right? He's supposed to meet up with this cabin. And the cameraman's there waiting for him. And he sees him, and he like, goes out to try to grab him, hug him or whatever. And the guy's turned to a zombie, right? But, like, he's obviously not fully zombie, right? Because he still has, like, a person mentality, like, deep down inside. But he gets shot by some military guys or whatever. And then something happens at the end that I'm not going to say.
So as soon as he turns, does the movie become like a first-person view?
When he's in the shots, yes.
Okay. So do you ever see him as a zombie?
Yes.
Okay, like in a reflection or whatever.
Well, and when he meets up with his friend, like he goes to this cabin, he remembers he needs to go there, and his friend goes to greet him, but he's like, oh shit, you're a zombie. And he's like, pulls a gun on him, and the guy's like, ooh. But obviously, like, trying to get his attention, like, I'm okay. And you can kind of hear him, like, mumbling something similar to that. Like, it's me. Like, help me. But, of course, like, the guy's freaking out because his buddy's a zombie. And that's when, like, the military shows up.
Gotcha.
Anyways, it was very good. I really enjoyed it. If you're a fan of zombie movies, I think you'll really dig it. If you like horror movies that are a little bit different, I think you'll be called I Am Alone.
On Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I wish more of the movie had that first-person thing, though. Because I think that could have turned into something really interesting.
Gotcha.
And a lot of movies don't play with that. There's been a couple that tried, like, what about, like, if we
Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Doom?
No.
Yeah. Doom went into first person.
I remember. I just watched the sequel to that movie. What's it called? Oh, like, boy. Doom Salvation or something. I don't fucking
know. Ay-yi-yi.
There's a direct-to-video sequel.
Of course there is.
And it's actually not bad.
Sure.
I've also been playing Doom Eternal. We're not going to talk about that today.
We could.
It's fantastic.
Oh, man.
Maybe next time. Because I'll also have a comic that I'm going to talk about next time. But, yeah, I really enjoy this one, man. It's not for Nick.
No.
So I can't recommend it to you. But no. I can recommend it to the listener. I know Rob Krieger will.
Good. He'll give it a solid 7.
He will give it a 7 out of 10.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you watched anything?
A few movies.
Yeah.
I watched one documentary from HBO called Kurt Cobain, The Montage of Heck.
Oh.
You ever see that?
No, how was it?
There's parts that have the flashback, like with his regarding his diaries, somebody's reading his diaries, and it's animated, and it looks like that Richard Linklater film.
Yeah.
So very realistic, but then there's like fanciful, dreamlike imagery. That's depending cool. on what he's reading. And then they interview quite a few people, which was pretty fascinating. There was a lot of home footage that Courtney Love obviously gave during the like Frances Bean years where they just sort of holed up together.
Yeah.
But good God, when it's like his diaries before becoming famous, holy Christ, though. It was Kurt Cobain is the most emo of emo. Oh my God. And I felt terrible, like the way his life ended. I hate to like slam on the dude, but it was just like there was so much wah wah wah. It was crazy.
No
but
kidding.
Obviously he had a lot of problems. There was a lot of doctors trying to diagnose him, giving him pills. He had no interest in continually taking the pills. It was the typical struggle. Obviously, he's brilliant and he wants to keep that edge, but then he gets on these pills and he doesn't feel like he has that edge, so he gets off the pills for whatever reason. That part was interesting, but the documentary, I think, was over 2 hours and it felt 40 minutes too long.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I could recommend it. Like I said, it's on HBO, so if you have HBO, you're Kurt Cobain fan, you know, get out there and enjoy it, I guess. But I've seen other Kurt Cobain type of documentaries that I liked more.
So that's a really funny synchronicity, Nick. Because last night I found a video on YouTube that was hilarious involving Nirvana.
Oh.
They were invited to this British TV show sometime earlier. And this TV show had like a very strict policy with live performances where the instruments were played on a track.
Sure.
Even though like the band members were still there, like playing their instruments.
Right.
Like they played the track over it, but they sang live vocals.
Yeah. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. A lot of shows do that. Of course, Kurt Cobain being the person that he was, did not like this at all.
Of course.
And so like the, Dave Grohl and I can't remember the other guy's name. Like,
Chris Novoselic.
There you go. We're like obviously not playing their instrument.
Of course.
Right? Like the shit that they were playing, but the stuff they were doing did not match the music.
Yeah, the bass guitar might as well have been behind him.
Yeah. And then Kurt Cobain started singing the song. It was Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Sure.
He starts singing the song, but he sings it in like a deep voice, like reminiscent of like a crooning 50s song. It was hilarious.
I'm sure at that point he probably sang that song a million and a half times.
I'm sure, so I'm sure.
How can you not be sick of it?
I'm sure. But it was hilarious because like there's a live audience there, and they're like, when the music starts, they're like headbanging, like jamming or whatever. And then like he starts singing and everyone starts like...
That's great. Holy cow.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And also, oddly enough, Reagan just discovered Nirvana this week.
Ooh, that's exciting.
So she's been playing a lot of Nirvana around the house. And,
nice.
And that got my wife into also playing a lot of Nirvana in the house.
Heck yeah.
So we might have to check this thing out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I liked the, I think there was a documentary called Courtney and Kurt?
Yes.
Kurt and Courtney?
Yes, yes. Kurt and Courtney.
Yeah, that I enjoyed a little bit more. I think that's on Netflix.
Yep.
But that's all, that does not go through really his like rise to fame. That was more of like, wow, he really fucked that up when he got a lot of fame, huh? Yeah.
Well, the thing, it's just kind of weird, right? Like to be in a band that like actively talks about the system being fucked up, and you're like making gazillions of dollars in the system, yeah. Right?
Yeah, making fun of corporate rock, and then all of a sudden you become corporate rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time, man. Like when we, not now because the malls are closed, but like when we go to the mall, and you know, like 90s fashion is back with the kids now.
Nice.
So we we'll go to the mall and like I see the girls like they buy jeans that like already have holes in them, right? And slits.
Sure, sure, sure.
And look like, you know, 50-year-old jeans,
mm-hmm.
like flannel shirts and like the checkered Vans. And I'm like, man, if Kurt Cobain was still alive today, he would shit his pants.
Or he would have a brand of clothing called Nirvana.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity, Courtney.
Yeah, it definitely, at least some of the music that they played during the documentary, it did want me to go and like, ooh, I should listen to that again.
Yeah. So anyways, so since you mentioned, yes,
go ahead. I was just gonna go on to my next movie, that's all.
Oh, well, let me go in and briefly discuss my next show.
Yes,
I did want to put this on your radar.
Good.
Because it has one of your favorite people in it.
Ooh, okay.
So this show is called Messiah. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
Starring the one and only Michelle Lynn Moynihan.
Mm.
As a CIA agent.
Oh.
And
that sounds sexy.
So I watched only one episode.
Okay.
Not because it wasn't good, but because I want to have time for a lot of things.
Was this the show, I think I watched the trailer, that it seems like it's a coming of a new spiritual guider, that type of thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Not really Jesus, but like people are taking him as like the next coming.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, the show is called Messiah, so.
I could swear I saw that trailer. It looked good.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. So the first episode is a lot of setup because you have to set up both sides of the thing.
Sure.
Both sides of the story. But basically it kicks off with ISIS getting ready to invade Damascus, present day. And as they're like getting ready to shoot their missiles, there's like a sandstorm coming in. And this guy's like preaching in like the Times Square or whatever about how like God is going to deliver him from ISIS and whatever. And the sandstorm kicks up. Apparently the sandstorm lasts like 39 days.
Ooh.
And so like all these ISIS forces that were going to invade Damascus are like literally buried in sand. So,
wow. So
everyone in town is like celebrating because this guy like prophesied that God would get him out of this ISIS invasion.
Interesting.
And so of course, like this immediately goes in the CIA's radar and Michelle Moynihan's trying to figure out who this guy is. And the guy is really interesting because so this is happening in Syria. Except, like, they can tell he's not Syrian by the way he talks. It turns out that, like, he may be Iranian, which means, like, he's a different sect of Muslim than what they are in Syria. So, like, why is he leading these people that are, like, a different sect? Because, you know, they don't get along between sects.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, ends up taking them to the Palestinian Israeli border, and like they get stopped by the Israeli police there, obviously border patrol, but he just like crosses over and like they start shooting and like he's fine. They arrest him and you meet this Israeli cop, and the guy just like he knows his name, like he knows his history, he knows about like how he lost his faith in God, like some little kid got killed in front of his eyes. Like all this stuff he knows about the guy, and it's like what the hell's going on? God's like talking to this guy? I'm sure there's a lot more into that than it appears at first. But yeah, it's very good. Very good. And Michelle Moynihan's fantastic in it.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. And she
Well,
is
and
like,
why haven't you continued? Just other things popped up?
man, I'm reading trades, and I'm watching. I'm gonna tell you about this other show that I watched. Yeah, I'm just trying to do a little bit of everything time that I
Okay.
have. You know what I mean? So I don't want to just do the one thing.
I hear you.
Like I haven't even gone back to The Outsider yet, and I really like that show, the HBO show.
Okay, gotcha.
Westworld started. I haven't even started that.
Oh, shame on
Yeah, well, I'm sure. But
you.
yeah, put Messiah on your radar. It's some of it feels a little bit. Did you watch Jack Ryan?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But when you're describing this, it sounds like this could be a season of Homeland.
Yeah, okay, that's probably a better example, because I was gonna say like Jack Ryan with less action. But yeah, I think Homeland might be a better comparison.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. The acting's fantastic.
It sounds tense, like Homeland's tense.
Yeah. So Messiah, recommend it. Netflix original.
I will put that in my queue, but I will wait for your entire season review to know if I should ask Julie, the cruise director, to join me.
Yeah, good call. Good call. Because right
Because,
now, I don't think so.
yeah, episode one sounds like, oh, and then they captured him, and then the entire next episode is him being tortured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So tell me about this movie.
Okay, I only have two more. The second one that I saw is on Hulu. So if people are looking for things on Hulu to watch, and another documentary called Dumb, the Story of Big Brother
Oh,
Magazine.
yes.
Not sure if you ever read Big Brother Magazine, huge like skateboarding magazine, big into the it was the and I don't know if you how down the rabbit hole you went with skateboarding. I couldn't skateboard. I had no coordination whatsoever. My brother, fantastic skateboarder. So he adopted that culture completely. So I in not inherited, but he had Big Brother magazine laying around here and there. So that's through osmosis I picked up on Big Brother. So it was pleasant to all of a sudden discover that became Jackass, and that became like the whole, Johnny Knoxville craziness, goofiness. But to start off with like Big Brother, to me it was always like National Lampoon's magazine for the skating culture, or Monty Python for the skating culture, was Big Brother magazine. So there was so many behind the scenes, like the amount of taping that they did pre-cell phone, and how they linked everything together, and all these bizarre stories. And one was even Big Brother magazine took God, who the hell was Slayer to Disneyland for the day. And for them to be like video recording that, as well as one of the Big Brother interviewers, he interviewed Ronnie James Dio. And the whole point of going in there was to play it straight, but to ask Ronnie James Dio like the most absurd questions. And to like, because as soon as the interviewer heard from Dio's handler, that, hey, don't bring up this, don't talk about this, he's in a really pissed off mood. As soon as he heard that, of course, the light switch flipped and he was like, oh, now I know exactly what to ask him about his height, why he's so upset, and just like get under his skin. And for them to be recording the whole thing was freaking uncomfortable, but crazy that they thought to do that. And if you like the magazine, it was really interesting to hear how Larry Flint, Hustlers Larry Flint, bought the magazine, especially when it was about to like go under, bought the magazine and like rescued it from the ashes. And then just like we were talking about, then all of a sudden this indie magazine gets bought by, even though it's Larry Flynt, it's still a corporation.
Right.
And as soon as they moved into like the Hustler building, all of a sudden they couldn't wear shorts and t-shirts. They had to dress a certain way that was business casual. And you could just tell it was like, do they even realize what they bought? Because now all of a sudden they want to put us in a dress code. So it was a real fascinating watch. And they talked to a lot of people that you'll certainly know if you ever read the magazine. It was shocking how many people they talked to. So that was cool.
Yeah, I've actually had this on my queue for like 6 months.
Ooh.
But I have not watched it yet.
Yeah, highly recommend.
All right, I'll see if I can bump it up then.
It was real goofy. It was a good, like, turn off the brain. You don't have to think too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an interesting story just about the magazine. And then they, you know, diverged into, oh, and then Knoxville went over here and did XYZ.
Right.
I mean, they went in a little bit to Jackass, but not much. Like, I remember seeing Johnny Knoxville, like, hearing about him testing out, like, safety equipment. And I've always seen, like, the clips before Jackass where he would get, like, tased. And I saw little clips like that, but then I always heard of the one that then he tested a, safety vest with a gun. And he loaded one bullet in, and I guess when he clicked it, the bullet made a rotation. So then he had to sit there and click it another 6 times to get the bullet back into the chamber. And sure enough, they had the freaking video of that. I was like, Jesus Christ. And to watch that happen, it's like, oh my God, this guy could die. Even though you know he doesn't. He's alive right now. You know he does. But still, the amount of tension was just like, holy shit, this can't go good. But that's the type of stuff that's like, oh my God, I can't believe they had the forethought to record this stuff. So nuts.
Oh, man. All right, I'm make sure I put them.
Yeah, it was good. And like I said, you have to justify Hulu every once in a while, so...
You know, the only reason we still have it is because my wife got like a year for a dollar.
Yeah, why not? They have some good documentaries, dude. Go through those documentaries. There's some good ones.
All right, we'll see.
That aren't on Amazon and aren't on Netflix.
You know, that might be the reason why we still have them, so my wife can watch a true crime documentary.
Yeah, there you go.
So that leads me into the next thing that I watched, which, let me just say,
okay,
everyone needs to watch this. Right
now. Oh, bye. I'm picking up a pen. I'm writing this down. Go ahead.
This is I'm pretty sure, a Netflix original series. Yeah, I watched it on Netflix.
Okay.
It is called Tiger King, Story of an Average Joe.
Dude, I watched the trailer to that. Did you watch the trailer?
Yes.
Holy mother of Christ. As soon as I saw, because I mean, the internet has blown up from this damn show.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, my Twitter feed is just exploded the weekend that it came out.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched the preview. The dude's arm gets ripped off by the tiger.
It's a woman.
Okay, a woman. Sorry. Uh-huh. And like I said, it was quick. But then the cameraman goes back to the head dude, whatever his name is, Johnny Tiger. And he goes, this is gonna bankrupt me. I'm like, you are a sociopath. I'm like, this person just had their arm ripped off and you're worried about like losing whatever business you have. Oh my God. So this I want to know about, because all I hear is tweets about it. Give me the broad strokes.
All right, so my wife has already seen this, the entire thing.
Of course.
Okay. So we were having dinner, and I had just finished watching, I can't remember what it was. I finished watching something, and I was like, I need something like quick to watch before I go read.
That ain't quick. That's like 6 episodes.
And she's like, I was like, do you have any like good, so I'm like, she's like, I don't know, let me think about it. So I started like browsing through things, and I saw on there that I had on one of my queues, Cropsey. And then so I was like, oh, this looks like a horror thing. So I watched the trailer. And my wife walks into the room and she's like, oh, are you watching Cropsey? And I was like, you've seen this? She's like, yeah, it's a true crime thing. I was like, oh. I was like, I don't know if I want to see it. I was like, so do you have like a good true crime documentary? Like something quick that I can watch? Mm. And she's like, she's looking through her phone. She's like, oh, you should watch Tiger King. She's like, have you heard about this? I was like, Now, I don't know what the hell Tiger King is. So, like, well, have you seen the trailer? Then, no, I guess I'll watch the trailer. So I watch it, and I'm like, this looks really like super, super dumb. And then I remember, like, people talking about Joey Exotic on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, this is that thing that everyone's talking about on Twitter. She's like, you need to watch it. It's not dumb. Like, you watch it. Watch the first episode. I said, all right, I'll watch the first episode. Nick, let me tell you. The world is a very interesting place these days, Nick. I often wonder if we're living in, like, one of Grant Morrison's, like, magical, like, schism dreams.
Answer, we are.
Answer, yes, we are. Ronnie will love that. It's like just the shit that happens on a day-to-day basis. You're like, no writer in the world could make up a crazier fucking story than this.
Or if they did, because I only saw them from the trailer. But if a writer or a comic book writer did this in a comic book, people would be like, that could never happen.
That's so unrealistic.
That's too outrageous. Yeah.
It's like, you know how I told you one of my new favorite pastimes is to go to Our Conspiracy. And like read the crazy shit people put on there. The reason I like going on there is because I'm looking for something that's actually crazy. Like nothing on there seems crazy anymore. You know what I mean? It's just like,
right?
Yeah, okay, so what's your point? Like I remember them talking in Our Conspiracy months ago about like China underreporting numbers. And like today on Bloomberg, they read an article like, yeah, U.S. intelligence informed Trump in January that China was vastly underreporting numbers. And I'm like, see, this is why we can't have nice things. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make this shit up. Like, you can come up with the craziest conspiracy, and it's probably all 100% true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, the crazy shit isn't even part of the crazy conspiracy theory. Anyway,
you know what's wrong with that story, that report? With the conspiracy. The one part that would be wrong is they didn't tell Trump in January. They told him in February. Like, that's the one thing that's wrong. Everything else is like, which you would hope everything else would be the cuckoo part. It's like, oh, yeah, you're right. We missed it. Yep. January. Yeah. It was February 3rd. Darn it.
I think they actually told him in December. But anyway, that's beside the point.
But you know what I'm getting at regarding the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, it's like, sure.
One little weird fact. Okay. So that I got that one little weird fact wrong. But you can't hang your hat on anything else because everything else is right.
Yeah. It's like the press conference was at 4, not 4:05. You're like, okay, guy, like, cool, whatever. Anyways, so that whole long diatribe to tell you this is exactly what that show is.
Okay? Wow.
If you watch the trailer to this thing and you are not interested, I do not blame you one bit. The trailer is horrendous. Compared to the magic that is this show.
Wow.
This show is quite literally the craziest shit I have seen in my entire life.
Really?
I swear to God.
Wow. Okay. So, well, right, it is in my queue, even though I watch. It was just one of those I gasped when he was like, that's going to ruin me.
Yeah.
Like, that was the part that was like, oh, I got to watch this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I know this is going to be bad.
That happens in episode 2, I think.
Hilarious.
So, I mean, this was so captivating. We watched 3 episodes back to back.
Dang.
Okay. I mean, they're not very long. They're like 45 minutes in.
Yeah. So.
All right. So Nick.
Yes.
Judging by the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to the audience what Tiger King, the story of an average Joe is.
I'm thinking that it's a guy who's running a wildlife sanctuary.
Okay, good so far.
But it wouldn't even be like Siegfried and Roy running it, who might understand animal behavior a little bit. This guy looks like he's from Eastbound and Down.
He looks like Joe Dirt.
Oh, really? See, I was thinking the other guy from that Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah, okay, okay. I can see that. Yeah. He looks like a rejected, like, early 2000s wrestler.
Who's completely coked out but wants to be around, like, crazy animals.
Yeah, if you take, like, Macho Man Randy Savage,
mm-hmm.
and you just, like, feed him heroin and crystal meth for 6 months, and then put him in a petting zoo, this is what this guy looks like.
Is that pretty much what it is?
Not even close, bro.
Jiminy Christmas. Because the little write-up, the two-sentence write-up when you go to the page does not really tell you much.
All right. So this is why I wanted to talk about the show. Because if you see people talking about this on Twitter, you're like, this looks dumb. Go read the whatever, the synopsis or watch the trailer.
Oh, no.
You're like,
it's all interesting and made me want to watch it. But for whatever reason, I just haven't got around to it.
This show, let me tell you, there is more like, all right, let me run through this real quick. Okay. So the main character of this show is Joe Exotic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You learn very early on that Joe Exotic is in prison. Okay.
Currently
in episode one, okay. You learn this.
Oh, interesting. I always like that. I like the flashback of how did he end up there?
So you learned that in episode one.
Mm-hmm.
You also learn either in episode one or two why he's in prison. I'm pretty sure it's in episode one.
Okay.
You learn why he's in prison. Or you get an idea of why he might be in prison.
Mm.
But let me tell you, this show is not just about Joe Exotic.
Mm.
This show is about so much more. It is about the craziest set of people I have ever witnessed in my life, okay? This show is also about animal rights and not about animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I want to, as succinctly as possible, explain the actual show to you?
So is it like he collected a cast of characters around him that's sort of like Duck Dynasty, where it's like, how are all these characters together? Are you kidding me? All in one room.
You need to spend some more time on art.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're not even close, bro.
All right.
So Joe Exotic, he is this like redneck AF guy,
mm-hmm.
From Florida, of course.
Mm.
Who started out like giving. My assumption is he was like a meth addict. Okay.
Wow.
He had a very tough childhood. I'm assuming he was like really deep into drugs at some point. Somehow got himself clean. Possibly, maybe. Kind of hard to tell right now. But started doing like don't do drugs speeches at like school. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And through doing that, like slowly started learning like how to better sell the Don't Do Drugs Act. So he like started incorporating magic into the act, and like then he started incorporating like animals into the act. And so like from there it moved to him doing like animal shows at malls, and like him and his crew like driving cross country, like doing animal shows at malls, like with you know, like six people in his crew and like a dozen tigers in the back of a 18-wheeler, just like driving around the country.
So he's not doing this like for the love of animals or nature. He went from the drug commentary to animals just because he probably gets more money that way.
Again, this is a documentary that presents all sides and allows you to choose whatever you want. Does this guy like animals? Quite possibly. It seems like everybody that they interview really loves animals.
Okay.
What that means in the overall picture of things, you can decide on your own. We will get there.
Okay.
We will get there. I mean, and you don't learn like this whole backstory like immediately, right? Like you get to meet Joe, and like he's very flamboyant. He's very out there. His whole, like, everyone that works at his little zoo, I think the zoo is in Oklahoma. They're like all like obviously ex-drug addicts. Like my wife said, as soon as you start seeing the zoo staff, you should count the number of teeth. one of those kind of things.
Sure.
There's maybe one mouthful of teeth our zoo.
Wow.
So you meet him, you meet the crew, you meet the tigers, you learn like how he got involved with the animals and blah 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 blah. Interesting story, kind of like whatever. And then you start learning about the feud he has with this woman. I think her name is Carol something. Who runs Big Cat Rescue, which is like a big cat sanctuary. I think that one's in Florida. And like their feud over like many, many
years. Sure.
Okay. And so you get to meet Carol, like they interview Carol and her current husband, Joe, and like they interview his staff. and you see like how their two operations are different, right? So like Joe's thing is kind of like remember when they used to have like, matter of fact, they even show some of these guys' clips when like Leno or Letterman or whatever would have like whatever
Jack
that,
Hanna.
yeah, like Jack Hanna or the other guy that died, the Australian guy,
Yes.
whatever his name was,
Right.
like those kind of things. Like they, he treats it like that, right? Where like he, yeah, he's selling tickets and like he has the animals up close and personal with the group, and he's doing like tours of the zoo, like, you know, 20, 30, 40 people, so like everyone gets very personal with the animals. And of course, like people eat that shit up, right? People love animals and they love like exotic animals that they don't see very often, where like hold a little baby tiger or whatever.
Yeah.
So now Carol is kind of, when you first meet her, she's the total opposite. Like you don't really know what Big Cat Rescue is. It, the way that they set it up in the first episode is like she's one of these like PETA people, right?
Sure.
Like pro animal rights, like the, and he's abusing the animals. Like it's just like a circus, right? Like they just use the animals for money and they just profit. But like behind the scenes, like they don't give a shit about the animals. And like her social media campaigns against this guy. And like as things progress, you learn that like this has been going on for like 30 years, right? Or 20
Wow.
years. Where like when she started the Big Cat Rescue, like she had like hired people to like follow Joe Exotic and his crew as they traveled like around the country in their semi truck, full of rednecks and tigers,
Sheesh.
to like see what mall they were hitting up next. And then like she would do an email campaign against the mall to like prevent the mall from allowing him to perform there.
Wow.
So like malls quit asking him to come back to do shows and like blah blah blah. And so he's of course talking about like she's messing with my livelihood. I love these animals. Like so like all right, so this is how this whole thing is set up in the first episode, right? Kind of like what you see in the trailer, okay, is
Gotcha.
how the first episode plays out. Oh no, my friend. Things go further downhill, or quite honestly, quite possibly to the highest mountain very quickly. So episode two, you learn to meet some of the surrounding cast of characters. As you learn more a little bit about the intricacies of like animal rights and legislature, and these different groups, you also meet Doc Antle, who is actually here in Myrtle Beach. He has a, an operation very similar to Joe Exotic's, except like a little more upscale, and he charges like, you know, $600 a ticket.
Sheesh.
You meet what's his name, like John Trubo or something like that, who's got one in Florida, except like they only do private tours there. You meet this other guy that's up in like Michigan or whatever, and they all start talking about like how they know each other and their relationships, and like this is when things get interesting, right? Because like this John Trubo guy was busted for like the largest amount of cocaine like ever in the history of the United States.
Wow.
He was a cocaine trafficker based out of Florida, and ended up getting him and his dad went to jail, got sentenced to like 99 years. Somehow he was able to appeal and only served 12, and so now he runs this like exotic animal sanctuary in Florida. Except like it's super hard to get in there. There's like armed security all over the place. Like it's maybe insinuated that he's like smuggling cocaine inside snakes or whatever. There's a lot of crazy shit going on there. This Doc Antle guy in Myrtle Beach, like you can tell there's something off with him. Because like even when you meet him, right, when the crew first shows up to his place, he's like introduces himself or whatever, and he's like, yeah, so what we should do is go to my house, and you guys should start filming like you going up the stairs, and then like I'll open the door and like take your hand and ask you guys to come in. And one of the people in the crew's like, man, this guy's a better director than our director. So like that's very quickly you learn how what this Doc Antle guy is like. So you get to meet him, like how he does his shows and like how he is when like the cameras don't appear to be rolling, even though the cameras are always rolling. You can tell the personality difference, but it gets crazier. And then this other guy up in Michigan, like he was some kind of like mafia hitman or something too. Like there's some really sketchy shit going on in this like exotic animal zoo operation all across the country. Okay. So you start learning a little bit more of this in episode two, and then as you go into episode three, you start learning that like there's a lot of like illegal like baby exotic animal trade going on.
Ooh.
Like I already mentioned the drug smuggling in like animals. Like you sell animals internationally, but you like stuff them with bags of cocaine. So when they get to their location, like the animals get cut up and like the drugs come out.
Wow.
You learn that like a lot of these guys, like they all know each other, and you learn that a lot of these guys, like Joe basically idolizes Doc Antle guy. And so when they were first starting out, like in the 80s or whatever, like he learned a lot from this guy. And one thing he like learned about was like all these girlfriends that he had, except Joe Exotic is very gay. Both his husbands have maybe like four. He has two husbands. You do learn about this double like threesome marriage, I think in episode three. But like this Doc Antle, so you start learning about more about Doc Antle and like how he runs his operation, how Joe is like copying the stuff that he does, except like not as high class because he's in Oklahoma in a smaller town, and like his whole crew is like homeless, like ex-drug addict rednecks.
Sure.
Like straight out of prison, like literally straight out of prison. Like some like at one point they show him like he gets a call from somebody. This woman like just showed up at the Greyhound bus depot, and like she's been there for a day, like hasn't left the depot. And like Joey goes there and like hires her to work at a zoo.
Wow, and those are the helpers that are supposed to keep these wild beasts away from the audience?
Yes.
Ooh, holy mackerel.
So
Did you want a documentary on that Joe Antal?
Doc Antle. Oh, so we're
Yeah,
getting
Doc
there.
Antal.
So
Oh, okay.
as I start talking about Doc, I'm like, this Doc guy seems really weird. And my wife's like, just wait. And like something happens,
Oh,
and I'm
no. Yeah.
like, oh, I know what it is. They're interviewing this Trubo guy, the guy that used to be like the cocaine like smuggler or whatever.
Right.
They're interviewing his wife, because they raised the baby monkeys in their house. So
Oh,
like
no.
they're going through her closet, and she's got like a closet full of like baby girl clothes and a closet full of boy clothes. They like dress up the monkeys as they're like raising them or whatever. And so they ask some question about Doc Antle, and she's like, oh yeah, like Doc loves animals, and just like he loves his women. And the guy's like, what do you mean? She's like, oh yeah, he's got a couple wives or whatever. And so this is when things are like, whoa, it's about to get real. So as soon as she says that, I'm like, this guy run a cult?
Ooh.
So then you go back to Doc Antle's house, you get like a tour of his place, and you drive by like this really nice house, right? It's a huge compound, right? You drive by this really nice house. He's like, oh yeah, that's such and such's house. Like she's been with me for whatever many years. And then like right next to that house is another house, and it's like, oh, that's this girl's house, and she's been with me for many years. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this guy is running like a sex cult masked as
Yeah.
like a tiger sanctuary. So there's like
Nice.
four or five houses like back to back of like his four or five like main employees have been with him for forever, all women of course. And like they're all his wives apparently. And you learn from this cocaine smuggler's wife that like, oh, 'cause they ask him, what's Doc Antle a doctor of? And she says mystical science. And when she said that, I was like,
Uh-oh.
this is a cult. Anyways,
That's so good.
so wait till you watch that part. Like they start going through all the stuff about like Doc Antle's operation, and you're like, this guy is literally enlisting teenage girls to come work for him, brainwashing them into staying. Like they literally work from 8 in the morning to midnight every day, seven
Jeez.
days a week, 365. Like he's
How is
basically.
there not a multi-part series just on him?
Oh, dude,
I
I don't
want
know.
more Doc.
I hope there's more Doc. I hope there's more Doc. Like when they start going through that stuff, it's fascinating. Like all these people are like super sketchy, right? But so far, you still see Carol, right? Like the animals rights activist. Like she seems like, I mean, she's a little weird because she's one of these PETA people, and they're fucking weird.
But as on the level as you've seen so far.
But like compared to everybody else, like she seems fairly straightforward, right? A little kooky and
Sure.
eccentric. But like, she's not a meth head. Like they're not like starting sex cults. Like there's no drug smuggling. Oh, my friend.
Then episode 4 happens.
Oh, my friend. No, now we're in episode three.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. You understand what I'm saying.
We're in episode three.
Yeah.
We start learning about this woman's background.
Uh-oh.
Oh, by the way, Joe Exotic does music videos. They are hilarious.
Oh, my.
He sings country music.
Oh, my.
A lot of times about animals.
Sure.
Also,
stay on brand. He's a smart businessman.
Of course. Also about Carol, his number one nemesis.
Oh, Jesus.
So we learned about Carol's background. Apparently, she was like abused. She was raped when she was very young. She left her house when she was like 15 because her family didn't believe her. This, that, and the other. When she was 20, like she meets this guy, and like their story was really weird. Like she's walking down the street, like or by a gas station, something like that. And he like pulls up and he's asking her if she needs a ride somewhere. She's like, "No, I'm fine." So he like drives around. He comes back and she's still there. He's like, "Are you sure?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." He pulls around a third time and like now he's got a gun under the passenger seat. And he's like, "Listen, I just need somebody to talk to. Come in. I'll take you wherever you want to go. You can take this gun and you can point it at me as I'm talking so that you know I'm not going to hurt you." So she does and ends up sleeping with this guy that night.
What?
Turns out,
Carol a lot lizard? Is that what you're telling me?
Maybe. Turns out this guy is like 25 years older than her. He's married with kids. Also just happens to be a multimillionaire.
What?
So the guy ends up leaving his wife and kids for what? Carol.
What?
Yes. They start this animal sanctuary. I don't remember what it was called. And like she paints it like everything's cool, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out her husband is dead. And he apparently just disappeared. Actually, he's not dead. He's vanished.
What?
They were married for 16 years. And in like 97, he vanished. Nobody knew where he was at. So you get to like meet his business partner and his accountant and his lawyer and his ex-wife and his kids.
But she got the millions of dollars.
And like everyone thinks Carol killed him and like fed him to the tigers.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Like they interview the homicide detective. Like all kinds of shit. Like shit gets crazy. Every episode, it's just like,
damn.
How much more could this possibly add on to the story? And every episode, it's just like, it's like coronavirus. It's just like, it doubles every 48 hours.
Wow.
Which you're like, whatever, like, maybe not. It's like, when you first hear about she killed her husband from Joe Exotic, and like, of course he made a music video about it.
Sure.
That was hilarious. He hired like a lookalike of Carol. And like the whole video, he's like singing country music and then like in the background and then towards the front, it's like this lookalike eating pieces of meat off a mannequin to a tiger in a cage.
Oh, my God.
It's hilarious.
Wow.
Anyway, so Carol may or may not have killed her husband. We don't know, but it seems mm-hmm. very plausible.
Sure. Yes.
You also learned that like when she first started the whole thing, like she was her husband was making money basically illegally selling baby animals internationally.
Oh, my.
And then like you learned that there's some kind of deal where he's like going to ship some cars to Costa Rica. I'm pretty sure this guy was also a drug dealer.
Wow.
It was very sketchy.
Yeah, that. It doesn't sound like an honest living if he's grabbing a lot lizards off the street by gunpoint. Doesn't sound like he's working a 9-to-5.
I mean, I don't know. He was a multimillionaire, right? Like he had a lot of real estate property or whatever. But like
crazy.
When they start talking about Costa Rica, I'm pretty sure there's some like sketchy shit going. Right? And like apparently he owned multiple planes, except like, you know, the homicide detective's like, oh, well, there was no, like, they found his van at this private airport, but, like, he wasn't there, and I think one of his planes was gone or something, but, like, there was no record of any plane taking off or any announcement of any flights, and Carol's like, well, yeah, there wouldn't be any record because he lost his pilot's license, like, the day after he got it, so, like, every time he flew, he was just flying illegally because he didn't have a license. So he like wow. He always flew at low altitude so he wouldn't show up on radar. Like, come on, bro. You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker was dealing drugs.
That's what it sounds like. I've only seen a few drug documentaries, but that sounds very sketchy.
Yeah, the whole thing's very sketchy. But basically what we learn out of these first three episodes that I watched is that, this whole shit is fucking insane.
I can't believe you're not going to tell me how it ends. What the hell?
Well, there's seven episodes total, so I will tell you next time.
All right.
But this shit is so entertaining, dude.
It sounds entertaining.
Like, you could not write this shit.
It has everything that we love. It has cults. It has drug dealers. It has wacky people. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if they're getting these exotic animals illegally. That's what I would like to know.
That does come up several times.
Okay. All right.
Does come up several times.
And you're not going to tell me what he went to jail for.
Oh, I will tell you because you learn very early on. Joe Exotic, this is not clear to me, and I'm not looking this up.
Uh-oh.
Joe Exotic either hired someone or himself murdered Carol.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's a lot of hatred built up to go that far.
Yes.
I'm sure your wife loved it as soon as she found out that happened.
I'm sure she did.
Oh, sounds great.
Dude, this show is entertainment.
I will certainly watch it.
You should. Just if you watch it, give yourself a couple hours because you might do multiple hours. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I don't mind that. I like to binge.
That's all I'm saying. And I think the episodes are like 45 minutes long. There's seven of them. So, that in mind. The Tiger King.
No problem at all. That sounds great.
Apparently, there's a feud between, Dax Shepard and Ed Norton over who will play Joe Exotic in biopic.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's great. So David Spade is not going to be playing him? Is that what you're saying? Be great.
Dude, Ed Norton would fucking kill that role.
Yeah, I could see that.
He would kill it. Anyways, so yes, that's all I've watched.
God, that sounds so good. What about trades? You said you read a couple trades.
Yeah, so I read, I still haven't finished the show, but I read The Witcher Volume 1.
Oh, wow.
From Dark Horse Comics.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the story of this TV show.
Okay. Is it the story of the video game or the book?
Neither.
Okay.
There's like little hints of things, but neither. It's really fucking good. I can't remember who the writer is. Hang on, let me look this up. Paul Tobin is the writer. And the art is by Joe Quero.
Okay. I know Paul Tobin. I've heard his name.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of Marvel work. And then Joe Quero, I don't recognize him either. He's apparently done some BPRD, Lobster Johnson. So, like, that's the art style that you're going to get.
Nice.
You read BPRD, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And Lobster Johnson.
And Lobster Johnson, yeah. Both good. So, yeah. The Witcher. It's very good. I highly enjoyed it. The art is very dark and like gritty, so it makes for good horror. And the coloring is really fantastic, actually. I was surprised by how not dark the coloring is. Because, a lot of these horror books, like, there's a ton of blacks and grayscales and stuff.
Sure.
And this one, the backgrounds are very simplistic. But there's a lot of color because, you have animal like horses. They're colorful. The monsters are full of colors.
And magic.
Of course, there's magic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, highly recommend it. It's free. Okay. It's free if you have unlimited. That was all
Julian. Sure. Sure.
Or you can buy it for $10.99. Actually, it's on sale. So $5.49.
But
at that point, you can pay for a month of Comixology Unlimited, so just do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's very good. The Witcher. And then I started, this is the one that I'm going to save for next time because I didn't finish it yet.
Uh-oh.
I wanted to read something that I hadn't read in a while.
Mm.
So I am doing a reread of Jeff Lemire's Animal Man.
Ooh, nice.
And it is very good.
Nice. That is a good read. Wasn't it Travel Foreman was like the first artist? Yeah, yeah.
Sure enough.
And man, that was some hype shit when that was the creative team, and then all of a sudden travel lasted, what, 7 issues or something?
Yeah, not very long.
Yeah. Where it was like, oh man, he's committed. He's doing this. No, wait, hold on. Now he's gone.
Yeah. Yep. He's always that way.
I know.
I'm sure.
I remember in interviews, he was like, no, 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 I'm here. No, it's all good.
Yeah. They all say
dang
that.
It. Yeah, no.
I mean, the guy that they brought in to take over was like fairly close to Travel Foreman anyway.
Oh, I liked all the creative teams on that version of Animal Man. Yeah.
Steve Pugh, the guy that took over.
I love me some Steve Pugh. Come on now. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Animal Man, very good. If you haven't read it, you should go read it.
Yeah.
Also, you're dealing
with the red and the green, right?
Yes. And I do plan on doing the entire series, by the way.
Dang.
Yep.
How far back? Or just from Lemire on?
Just the Lemire run. Yeah, I'm just going to do the Lemire. I have considered going back and doing some other Animal Man, but I don't know yet. I really like the Lemire one because it's so different.
It is very different, yeah. The Grant Morrison run, I just read a couple years ago, and there's a lot of it that still holds up really, really good.
Oh yeah,
I'd even say better than his Doom Patrol run.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Let's see if this is also on here. I think so, man. Oh, you know what? That's because I'm in the. There's probably not an Animal Man section.
What are you on?
Comixology.
Oh, Comixology. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Also on Unlimited. Let's see. Yes. Yes. Very good. Putting this on my right now.
It deserves a reread. Mm. There's some good family moments in that.
And this art is not
for the Morrison.
Yeah.
I enjoy some of it.
We'll see.
Yeah. The Boland covers are brilliant, of course.
Yeah, the Boland covers are great.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about the interior art yet, but I'm going to read it anyway. Who's the artist? It, Doug Hazelwood and Chas Trug. Not sure who.
But it's been a while since you read that run, right?
Oh, dude, I don't think I've read that run. It's got to be at least 20 years.
Okay, so it'll be fresh. You'll remember bits and pieces, but you won't remember. There were certain arcs that I completely didn't remember.
We shall see.
Yeah, give it a shot. What the heck? It's on Comixology Unlimited.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I like it.
There you go.
Doesn't matter how bad something is. You're like, this is basically
great. You're already paying for it. Mm-hmm. Why not enjoy it?
Correct. So have you been doing any reading?
I have. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to whip through these pretty quick. I read Legends of the Dark Knight, Michael Golden.
Ah, nice.
That was a good little collection of Michael Golden. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I read Punisher and Bullseye, Deadliest Hits.
Oh, I've never read that. Is it good?
And to be honest with you, when I read that title off, what would you expect?
I would expect a lot of shooting.
But you would expect both of them together.
Well, I would hope so.
Absolutely not.
What?
When I originally even tweeted about this, I tweeted Punisher versus Bullseye, Deadliest Hits.
Uh-huh.
And I read the first Punisher arc, which was Punisher. It was by Mark Guggenheim. He goes into a police station, turns himself in, goes through, and it's like, I think it's 3 issues. And it was a really good story. Don't get me wrong. Really, really good. Gets arrested for killing this guy because he brought into the police station a duffel bag with a guy that had a bullet through his head, mm-hmm. a district attorney. So then it all, from that point forward, became a court procedural.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank, there were tons of witnesses. He took the stand. He told his attorney, look, this trial has to go on till Wednesday. I don't care how you have to do it. Just make it go till Wednesday. Not ever telling her why. The last issue, he, of course, escapes the courthouse because there was another mob informant that he could never, ever get to because he was under a different identity.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he found out through another informant that this is the only time this guy's going to be in the courthouse testifying against so-and-so. So that was the whole point of him going through this whole thing. He didn't actually kill the guy in the duffel bag. The guy was, yeah. And, but I was like, that's a pretty cool story. Like, way to go, Mark Guggenheim. But at the end, I was like, where was Bullseye? What the hell? Even though it was really good, what the hell? Sure enough, I look at the title, Punisher and Bullseye, Deadliest Hits. Mm-hmm. So then the next three issues, because it's only like six issue trade, are a two issue arc of a Bullseye story, and then a standalone. It was I want to say it was Daredevil.
Correct. 500.
500. There you go. Which is a great story, and David Aja art, fantastic. I'm all in. Nowhere in this entire collection was Bullseye ever there with Frank Castle. I could not believe it. I'm like, but obviously, what's Marvel going to do? In my head, I'm like, oh, I get it. They have to trade stuff, and they have to put stuff together for trades, and you can't just trade three issues. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, Marvel, there's so many other arcs. You could have thrown on a Garth Ennis three-issue arc and just did a Punisher trade. Same with Bullseye. Do Bullseye's greatest hits and just put in individual appearances by Bullseye, including these three issues. I felt so taken. I was so upset, dude. I was just like, what the hell's going on here? And they were all good. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed reading them. But I kept looking like, when's Frank going to appear? He has to appear soon, right? He has to.
Yep, they got you.
Yeah, they totally got me, dude. And then I read the first Cullen Bunn Sinestro for New 52.
Wait, but did you read Punisher versus Bullseye?
No. This was just and it wasn't even, and I'll even tell you, when I first read that title, when they weren't against each other, I was like, maybe they team up for whatever stupid reason. Maybe that's it. And sure enough, no, not at all.
So I'm looking very at strange. I'm looking at this right now, and it says collects Punisher, Trials of the Punisher number 1 and 2, Bullseye, The Perfect Game number 1, and material from Daredevil 500. Uh-huh. So even then you're like, okay, maybe there's some crossover. But then if you read the full description, you're like, there is no mention of these two getting together. And I love the way it ends. It describes the first book and then the second book. And then it says, plus a brutal Bullseye versus Daredevil fight.
Yeah. And it was.
Well, I'm sure. That's the Daredevil 500. Wow. That's shameful. But shame on you, Marvel.
I know. I was so upset, dude. I felt like I was so misled. But they were still good. They were fantastic. So I was happy to read them. Yeah, and I also read Spider-Man Revenge of the Sinister Six by Eric Larson. Mm. That was one of my like blind spots. I never read any Eric Larson Spider-Man, so that was great to get in there and read that.
Nice.
Go ahead.
What was the Cullen Bumba you said? Sinestro?
Sinestro, yeah.
Okay.
52. That was good. That was really good. It had Dale Eaglesham art, so I was a pig in shit.
Nice. A pig.
I love me some Dale Eaglesham. Bring it on. And then I read the last Mark Waid Captain America run that started with Chris Samnee, and he only made it through the first volume. Hmm. That was really good. And now I see why everyone loved the first issue of that run. I don't know if you remember it, but it was the town that named themselves after Captain America.
Because
he rescued the town like 30 years before.
Yeah, that was a good issue.
That was a great issue. What a way to start a series. Holy Christ.
I think, they had just come off of somebody else writing it, and they were about to get somebody else. Oh, yeah, it was before Coates relaunched it.
Right.
They had Mark Waid do those fill-in issues.
Yeah, and they were, for 12 issues, I would say the first trade is a hell of a lot better than the second trade.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big time traveler for Cap. I don't think Remender did it all too well, but I thought Mark Waid did it really good. I enjoyed seeing his version of the future and where Cap sat in it. I thought that was really cool. So the first volume, highly recommend. The second volume, not as much. And I I just wrapped up Immortal Hulk 33.
Ooh.
Please tell me you read.
Nope, I'm still behind.
Got caught up.
Still behind.
Mamacita, is it so good? So 33 wraps up the last arc. And the last arc is probably some of the best Hulk I've read in quite a long time.
Hmm.
It is so good. And the way it wrapped up and left off, just like traditional Marvel comics, the last page is referencing the next arc. And they did it in a way that was just like, oh my God, that's so good. Oh, I didn't even see that comment. Oh, that's so good.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, I'll catch up because I'm on like 26.
I just want you to catch up for you. That's all.
Yeah.
Because it is a freaking treat. And it, when I was first introduced to the villain, I had no interest in him. I was just like, oh God, where the hell is this going? And then when you see the flip of how this villain is one thing and then becomes another, that's when it was like, holy Christ, what is Al Ewing doing? Oh my God. Really, really good. But I gotta say, and I don't know how you are with it, I sort of miss the early issues of Immortal Hulk.
Yep.
I miss that gothic romance thing that he had going, the gothic horror, gothic romance thing. I thought that was really cool. And when they involved Betty in the middle, and she's still involved now, but when she came in, I was like, there should be a weird connection beyond her resenting it. But hey, trust me, when I get variations of like a split personality and every Hulk has their own personality and lives somewhere within his head and they're all talking to each other, when I get that, that's all I really need. That is so good. To see Joe fix it, that is so good.
Oh. Gee.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to catch up this weekend, I promise. That way I can chime in on.
But can I throw out what I'm currently reading?
Of course.
To you? It is Batman by Francis Manapul and Brian Buccellato.
Nice.
Mother effer. This little collection that collects the first two story arcs, Anarchy and the Mad Hatter. What a good story. What a really good story. Oh my gosh. I can't believe people don't rave about that run more.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Ha ha!
No.
No, yeah, that's good, man. I'm glad you're doing it. Wait, is that your, that's one of your adopted characters, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's Batman and the Hulk, hence why I'm reading a lot. Yeah.
See, I'm being a bad boy. I haven't read much Daredevil lately.
Oh, can I also share with you, I did finish Incredible Hulk Masterworks 4,
mm-hmm.
and I know this might be sacrilege, but I think Marie Severin, I think she might be my favorite Hulk artist. Mm-hmm. She's so good! Oh my God! There's so much emotion in the face, like in characters' faces, and then Hulk is completely just the brute. There is no emotion there, but it's so dynamic. It's so fun. And I, like I said, that might be controversial, but holy shit, what the hell was she doing? I mean, this was like a woman's place is in the home. Like, she was not in the home. She was kicking ass and taking a name. Oh my God. I just want to read more of her stuff.
Looking at it now, it is pretty nice.
It's beautiful. And it might be the inker as well, because I also saw, Herb Trim? I saw his art and I loved like the penciled pages that they showed as extras, but I don't think his inker was that good. At least for me, I didn't care for the style of the inker. And it sort of muted how wonderful the pencils were. Where I think Severin, whoever was inking her, holy Christ, is her stuff fantastic. So I might have to go back and get Marvel Masterworks 3 so I can see if she's in it as well.
I'm trying to find.
But wow, she was just kicking butt and taking a name, and that was what, the 60s when she was doing it?
That's what I'm trying to find is a date.
Yeah, I know she just passed away like 2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, but so good. Like, she is she quickly became one of my favorite like Hulk artists, without a doubt.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, And it's fresh. Like, reading it, it did not feel dated at all, even though it's 55 years old. The motion was really beautiful.
You said that was Masterworks 4?
4.
Let's see.
But Mamma Mia, was it good.
Incredible Hulk Volume 2. Okay.
If I ever see it, then.
Okay.
If I ever see it on sale, I'll give you a holler. Do you do Marvel Unlimited or no?
No, I used to.
Okay. Well, when I see it next on sale, I'll give you a holler because I think it'll be like $4.99, and it's so worth $4.99.
I'm looking at a couple places as we chat. What a good price for this. Wait, what? I don't want. No. All right, continue.
Our previous topic made me have to bring that up because I don't think we talked about Severin.
Yeah. No, we have not.
And I didn't know anything about her. Like, oh my God, I fell in love with her work, and she is doing volume 3, which I have to buy.
So I might just grab it on Comixology. What is it, $14? Yeah, 14.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, but I'm just saying, you have plenty of other things you could be reading. I'll happily let you know.
I'm gonna look up the issues, because I don't know if they have these individually, it might actually end up being cheaper than buying Masterworks.
True, very true. And then if you're choosing individual issues, you could just cherry pick volume 3, because I know she does some stuff in there, but not all of it.
That is exciting. Yeah, I do like this art.
But there is some Bushima art in 3 too, which that's always.
Yeah.
I always clicked with Bushima. I clicked with the Sun when I was first collecting Avengers, and then all of a sudden, of course, Avengers Spider-Man, right. And then all of a sudden I discovered the father, and I was like, wait, they're related? Because the art style was so similar that I didn't even think John, Sal, what? It never even dawned on me that like one birthed the other. Holy Christ.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. But what's going on with your spotlighted character? Have you just sort of fell by the wayside?
I think so, man. I think I read too much at once.
Oh, that is easy to do.
And I usually don't do anything like that. I like to hop around.
Yeah, you're a mood reader, which I appreciate. I'm glad you finally came over.
Well, I'm trying to think. What did I do? What was the first one that I did? Where's my spreadsheet?
To the spreadsheet. Where's the Google Doc?
I don't even know if I have it on my computer.
Oh,
I know where it is. Yeah, no, it's not on my computer right now because I just and I have a problem. I just reset my computer again on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't copied all my stuff over yet.
Sure. But can I just ask you about your moods then?
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I do know I read all of the Mark Waid stuff.
Gotcha.
Continue. My mood stuff.
No. I'm just curious, like, what made you want to read the Jeff Lemire Animal Man? Like, where do you think your mood is now? Because I know, what was it, a month and a half, 2 months ago, when you were completely frayed from overwork, the amount of comics dropped to nothing. Like, what made you want to reread when you, I'm sure, could look to your left right now and see 300 comic books that you have never read?
So that is a good question. I was reading something, and reading that, it came up unsuggested.
Ah, okay.
I was like, oh yeah, I haven't read this in forever. And so I popped it open, and I was like, oh yeah, really good. So I just started reading it. That's basically how that went.
So it's like a warm sweater.
Charles Soule, of course. Okay, so I read all of Charles Soule Daredevil and all of Mark Waid's Daredevil.
Wow, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah, within like... let me see. The last time I read any Daredevil, February 3rd. That's almost 2 months.
That's still not that far away.
Yeah, but I read all of that in how many days are in January? 30. So yeah. In 32 days.
I will say when I finish the first Bendis omnibus, and you know how much I'm a cheerleader of Bendis and Brubaker's run on Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Every time I finish. Because I was reading those through omnibuses,
mm-hmm.
So I would get done with whatever it is, 35 issues, let's say, of an omnibus. It was like the last thing I wanted to do was read Daredevil, even though it ended on a great note. It was like, well, tell me the negatives. There is no negative. It was just, I'm overloaded. I can't read any more of this. That's sort of why I picked the Hulk and Batman. Talk about like polar opposites.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. So Ronnie and I were like very briefly talking about this the other day because he posted something about like, he's on book like 1,400 or whatever for the year. And you know, like everyone's doing this like 500 comic list. Number one of whatever out of 500. And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I understand most people don't read as many comics as we do.
Right.
But like 500 just doesn't seem like a huge accomplishment. You know what I mean? Like if it was 500 trades, like, yeah, that's probably like impossible.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm sure some people could read like more than one trade a day.
I did 200 trades in or omnibuses last year.
There you go.
And that was really pushing it.
Yeah. 500 seems like impossible.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just looking over my spreadsheet now. I've read since January 1st, I've read 15,000 pages.
Wow.
You know what? I don't have a total read count on here.
What the heck?
Let me, why didn't I not do that?
I don't know. You're a business major. You'd think you would have.
Let's see here. I've read 64 trades this year.
So do you break those out individually into issues? Or are you just logging in like, this trade's 300 pages and you're keeping a page count?
Oh, yeah. No. So what I track, so I do title, volume, writer, artist, publisher, page count, when I start, when I finish, and a rating.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's why I'm not doing the 500 issues. Because it's like, I'm not going to sit there and like, oh, okay, now I did 8 on this trade or 50 on this omnibus.
Right.
Like, eh, I'll just count the books.
Well, and that's the thing too. So like most trades are like, whatever, 110, 20 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm looking on here, the Fall of Cthulhu omnibus was 601 pages.
Yeah.
Right. Irredeemable was almost 500 apiece.
Mm-hmm.
Legion Quest. Oh, we hadn't talked about that yet. That was 550 pages.
Mm.
So, like, some of these are hefty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways.
That's why I always say trades and omnibuses, because guess what? That page count is crazy.
Hell yeah. Also, by the way, a lot of those 15,000 pages were, like, basically because they're Comixology only.
Nice.
Not all of them.
Nice.
I did buy a lot of stuff on. I wonder if I should track that. Nah, I don't care.
So are you just going to take a break from Daredevil, or do you think you're just done with spotlighting character?
No, I think I'm gonna go back to Daredevil. Okay. I really want to go back and do the Innocenti stuff. And
yeah,
I got the what's his name? The Kevin Smith stuff. I bought that.
Sure.
I got physical copies of that, so I want to read that.
Maybe just not all at once.
Yeah. And
pace it out.
And I will be doing the Frank Miller stuff last. I did decide that.
Yeah, as soon as you get into quote-unquote modern Daredevil.
Yeah.
And I like that it's sort of an anchor for him. It is his character, but he is very wah-wah.
Mm, yeah.
So, like, buckle up.
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think, so I'm gonna finish this on Animal Man. Depends how I feel after that. Is whether I'll do Morrison.
Could be too much Animal Man.
I mean, could be.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Maybe you need to break it up with some Immortal Hulk. That's all I'm saying.
I do need to catch up on that.
Yeah.
I wonder if I should, like, reread that whole series.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. So, or you could just read the 8 issues. Believe me, this last arc, I don't think you need to know anything that happened before it. It's all well laid out.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll just do the ones that I'm...
Yeah, I don't want you to unnecessarily reread. Unlike what I'm going to do for the Wildcats, I'm starting back at volume 1. Let's go.
Oh, are you like old school Wildcats?
No. Just the start, the restart from Ella.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I do that every time I start the next trade. I always reread from volume 1.
Because
there's so much interconnected stuff that he never... Guess what? If you miss it, you miss it. If you know, if you remember it, oh, it's going to, you know, you as a reader a little bit more.
Oh, you're talking about the Warren Ellis series, the Wildstorm.
Yeah.
Okay,
Wildstorm, yeah.
I gotcha. That's how I was trying to figure out what you said when the relaunch. I was like, maybe he's talking about when they went to DC the first
time? No, sorry.
I gotcha. I might do that actually at some point. It's like the early stuff is still pretty fresh in my head, but some of the later stuff, like when they switch the team up, like when, what's his name, Mr. Majestic and stuff came on, some of that stuff is kind of a little foggy.
I just read it last year, so I don't need to go back and touch that again. For a while.
No, I gotcha. Man, I gotta see how many comics I'm behind on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you wanting to reread something is like, oh my god, you have so many comics, so many new comics you've never touched.
We're about to find out.
Uh-oh. This is dangerous.
Oh. All right, so I am 344 comics behind.
Ooh. Good god.
This is new comics, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Not those huge stack of trades that you've never touched, or the C2E2 stuff from 3 years ago you haven't touched.
Yeah, this is not including any of that stuff, or like the boxes that are still in my garage, or my Comixology Unlimited queue. None of that.
Oh my god.
And then here's the other problem. I don't know, how does this work? Does the purchased include in progress? I got to see what the overlap here is, because I have 62 books in progress.
On Comixology?
Yeah.
No, in progress is its own.
It's its own thing, right?
Yep.
Surely this is not right.
If you selected unread, then it will show you everything that is not in progress and not completed.
Oh, here we go. No, we're not. I'm not even going to tell you what my unread count is.
I'll tell you mine. You tell me yours. Mine's terrible.
All right, what's yours? What's your unread count?
I got to pull it up. Okay. I like this. I'm very excited. I did this with Travis a couple months ago, and I was like, oh, that sucks. Why am I doing this?
Why? There's like, is this a Deathlock omnibus? What is this? Why is this in my wish list?
Oh, no.
Who's been in my account?
Okay. Unread.
Uh-huh.
1,961.
Okay, good. I don't feel so bad. Mine is 873.
Oh, buddy, you're not. My in progress is 82 freaking issues. That's crazy.
Oh man, this is great. Very good, very good. Now I don't feel like a total jackass.
Oh, I'm a total jackass, dude. For sure. But you know what? Like I told you before, rarely am I not buying something on sale. So when it goes on sale, and it isn't Batman or Spider-Man. If it's something like this week, I bought 3 issues of Hex. Never read Hex before, but it has Batman from Earth 3 within the 3-issue arc. And I looked at the preview pages, and Rob Krieger just did a spotlighted issue for DC Retrocast.
Mm-hmm.
And I thoroughly enjoyed what he was talking about. So I'm like, oh, these are on sale, 99 cents. And I've never seen them on sale through Comixology. So, you pick those up because who knows when they'll come back on sale.
Mm.
Or at least that's what I tell myself. Son of a bitch.
See, I don't even tell myself anything anymore.
You want it, whatever. You buy it?
Yeah, I'm just like, whatever.
There you go. I'll get around to it. That's what I think.
We were talking about this yesterday because, Aaron's been on this like trade buying spree.
I know.
And
Mr. Digital.
We were talking about, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's all the hardcovers, man. Nice.
Right. Yeah, I know. Those hardcovers are beautiful.
We were going through excuses we tell our wives as to why there's like so many comics on credit cards.
Oops.
We decided we'll just blame it on Ron.
Aw, smart, though. Did you see the new Wicked and Divine, the last omnibus that came out?
No, I'm not a big fan of that book.
I am not a fan at all. I'm just talking about design-wise. It's like matte black, and all of the symbols as well as all the text is like glossy black. It's really, really sharp design work.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What trade is that?
I think it's 3A and 3B, because B is all of the like supplemental, alternate covers, that type of thing. The playlists, that type of thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I see it. Year three. Oh, year four. Books 7 through 9. And large cover. Yeah, I like that. That's good. Looks like they have the same design in all the deluxe editions. Change the color of these.
I think it's cool. I like when companies think a little bit about design. It's nice.
I wonder, is that something that I should give a second chance? Wicked and Divine.
You can.
I like that.
I have no interest.
I like that.
Yeah, I love the creators, and you know me. I love freaking music, and especially Britpop.
Mm-hmm.
So that is so up my alley, but for whatever reason, it never ever took a hold of me. It's just like not Pretty Deadly, the Remender show that became a sci-fi show. The kid
Deadliest Class.
Yes, I both of those series, I gave 3 trades worth of reading time to, and they never ever caught on to me. Just you know, sometimes you miss, and I freaking love Remender, you know that, but I just couldn't connect with it.
Mm-mm-mm.
But other people do. Rock your socks off.
I gotta see.
One thing I would love to read more of, and I'm surprised he's not your spotlighted character this year.
What's that?
Judge Dredd.
Oh, dude, I've read so much Dredd, though. That's why.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
I could always more.
I've read way too much Dredd. Did I keep a spreadsheet in 2018? Not for trades.
Dang it.
Dude, yeah, I read, like, basically anything from the last, like, 20 years I've read in the last, like...
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, they're really good. I love them all. And the new stuff is really fucking good.
I know. I have to dip my toe in a little bit more.
Yeah, you need to. Fantastic. Life in Plastic. Remember that song? I'm a bunny girl in a bunny world.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let me tell you the story, Nick.
Is this finally we're getting around to the Martin almost died story?
Yes, except I did not die at all.
Well, from your wife's perspective.
Which, you know, here's the thing. I'm very happy that my wife cares enough to go check on me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Thank God. Right.
She thought I was dying.
She cares about her boo.
Yes, absolutely. So so here's the thing. So as you know, Nick, I have a dedicated meditation practice because it helps me, you know, recenter myself after a tough day. And usually when I do my meditation, I do it here in my office because it's very quiet. It's separate from the house. I don't have to worry about, like, the dogs or anything like that. Unless they're outside. But usually, like, it doesn't bother me too.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple days ago, I was like, I'm going to do my meditation family room. Because my wife was in there watching Ozark. Reagan was upstairs. Dogs were inside. Nice and quiet. It was nice outside. Like, it had just quit raining. So that we had the windows open. And I was like, I'm going to do it in there. So I go in there and I'm my thing. And as you know, I also like to do a lot of breathing exercises, a lot of breathing meditations.
Yes.
And so I started doing one of my favorite ones to do that just, like, really gets me in. Okay. And so I'm chilling there. I'm in the zone, doing my breathing exercise. And I feel like this wave going through my head. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And then I hear very faintly my name. And I'm like, what is happening right now? and then, like, slowly I'm coming to, and my wife is, like, vigorously shaking my shoulders and yelling in my face, like, 3 inches from my face.
Wow.
Martin. And, like, I'm slowly coming, like, I was entranced, Nick. Like, I was in the zone. Okay, I was in the zone.
She's harsh in your buzz.
And like, slowly I'm coming back to it. And I can feel her vigorously shaking me and yelling my name very close to my face. And I opened my eyes very calmly. And I said, babe, you took me out of the zone.
How dare you?
And she said, what the fuck? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm meditating. She's like, I was in the bedroom watching Ozark. She had the door closed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the bedroom watching Ozark, and I heard really fast breathing and like really loud. And I was like, what the fuck? So I opened the door and I came out, and you sounded like you were hyperventilating. So I thought you were having like a panic attack or a heart attack or something. I said, no, I'm just doing my meditation. because normally I don't do it in that room.
Right.
Right.
She's never seen it. Yeah.
She's never seen it. I'm always in the office.
Right.
And you know, it's brick walls in the office.
Oh, that's so good.
So anyways, so she's like, I thought you were like dying or something. But no, I'm fine. I'm just meditating. I said, just next time, like if you feel like it's weird, then by all means, come check on me. But like, this is one of the exercises that I do. All right. No problem. So she goes back in the room to watch Ozark. I go back in my meditation. Now I got to start over, right? Because I got kicked out of my zone.
Right.
So I start over, right? No problem. I get back in my zone, get back in my groove. This must have been like 30 minutes later. All of a sudden, once again, shaking, and I hear my name like super close to my face. Okay. Let me preface by saying I had just finished doing a breathing exercise. I was perfectly in the zone. Like I wasn't still in the process. I was there.
Nice.
And part of this breathing exercise does involve some exercise that may resemble hyperventilation at some points of the exercise. You're basically breathing at different rates. There's also points in which I hold my breath. Okay.
Mm.
So my wife had gone out to the deck to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I looked very peaceful in my seated meditation pose. So she thought nothing about it. She went outside, smoked her cigarette, came back in. I was still very quietly, calmly just sitting there. Okay. My face was like slightly facing up, apparently. And my mouth was slightly open. And she was watching what I was doing and noticed I was not breathing.
Oh, no.
Right? And so at first, she's like, maybe it's just some part of the breathing thing. But because of the way that this exercise works, you get a lot of oxygen in your blood. And so there's times where I hold my breath like 4 or 5 minutes. And so she's standing there staring at me as I'm doing my meditation and I'm not breathing for literally minutes. And so yeah, she freaked out.
She thinks she had a stroke.
Yeah. So she freaked out and now she's trying to get me to get up. Because she thought I was dead. So I come out of it.
Did you ask her if she wanted to join you? She's like, hell no.
So I come out of it and I said, what happened now?
Yeah, what the hell's up?
She said, I thought you were dead. I said, oh no, I'm just doing my breathing exercise.
Can you please leave me alone?
She's like, you weren't breathing. I said, babe. The thing is, I've explained to her like the exercises that I do before.
Yeah,
because I would love for her to try it.
Right? Yes.
And so I've explained some of the stuff that I do to her. She's just not interested, and that's fine. But obviously
she's really harsh in your buzz,
right?
Yeah.
So I was like, what? Like, what? I said, no, I'm just doing my exercise. Like, okay, so. So she leaves, and I by that point I was just like, whatever, like I'm good, you know what I mean?
Right, I'm done with this for today.
I'm good for today. But then last night she was in the room finishing up Ozark, and I went in there and I was talking to her about something, and I was like, I'm about to go do my meditation, so if you hear some rapid breathing, just don't freak out. And she's like, yeah, real nice of you to fucking tell me that yesterday.
My gosh.
So at least now my wife understands what to look for and not freak out.
Hopefully she understands.
Hopefully. Well, I mean, I try to explain, like, she's had panic attacks, right? Because I've talked about her anxiety before.
Yeah.
She's had panic attacks. And like, when you have a panic attack, it's not like controlled breathing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, I mean, yes, you're hyperventilating, but it's like out of control. You can't stop it. Like, there's no general rhythm or pattern to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the exercise that I do, like, it's not like for like 30 minutes, right? Like,
right.
There's patterns. Like, I go fast, I go slow, I go medium pace, I breathe, I don't, whatever, right?
Right.
So plateau is. It's just like, watch me for like 30 seconds, right? Like, if I stop breathing, 30 seconds is probably not going to make any difference. Right? So just watch and see what I'm doing, right? Because, like, if I had stopped breathing and died, like, I doubt I would die in, like, sitting lotus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably, like, tip over to the side or something.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
But anyway, so that's my story about my lovely wife who puts up with me on a daily basis.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, she's only worried about you and wants the best for you. That's
absolutely
all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Poor thing. Freaked her out twice. Let's see. You guys freak your wives out that much in such a little amount of time.
Oh, my gosh. That was great.
That's my story.
I loved it.
Anything else you'd like to discuss, Nicholas?
No, I think this is a nice, chunky, thick episode. I think we're good.
And 2 hours.
Yeah, dog.
We're gonna have to start renaming this Geek Brunch Future Cast soon.
Ooh, no, we can't do that.
But you should all go listen to Geek. It's fantastic.
Yes, get over there.
We're gonna wrap this up, man. I would love to talk about some more D&D, except even though everyone's quarantined, I have not gotten a chance to play D&D.
What the heck? You have perfect opportunity.
I know. I think we're going to play this weekend.
Oh, good.
I hope so. I'm excited. If that happens, then I will let you.
Yeah.
I think that is going to be it for tonight. We do have a new show on the network. It is called the Blue Ropes Podcast, or the Blue Corner, excuse me. Blue Corner Podcast. It is all about mixed martial arts and boxing. So if you're into that, go check that out. And I think Missouri Swagger came back tonight, so that's exciting. That tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's it. Go check out all the great shows on NerdLegion.com, including the ones that I mentioned, Brightside Chat, etc. And that's it. We can be found on Twitter, at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at NerdLegion. Thank you for listening, and we will be back later.